Seattle's Morning News with Dave Ross. Good morning. I'm Colleen O'Brien. You've probably, especially if you're paying attention to the measles outbreak in Washington, heard of the case out of Oregon from 2017 in which a young boy contracted tetanus. And it was a long, weeks-long, arduous process to get him healthy again. And we're just getting the final report from the researchers at the center of this case. And we have one of those researchers and actually part of the care team for that young boy, Dr. Carl Erickson. He's a critical care pediatrician at Dornbecker Children's Hospital. Dr. Erickson, thanks so much for joining us on this.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me first what it was like to discover this was, what, the first tetanus case in 30 years for the state? And what was that like to have this on your hands all of a sudden?
Well, it was tough. Most pediatricians have never seen a case of tetanus because vaccines are so effective that it's really rare in the U.S. And at the same time, the patient was really sick. So we did a lot of research. We obviously have a pretty good understanding of tetanus, even if we've never seen it. But in terms of understanding the most recent treatments and more innovative therapies, that's always harder when you're taking care of somebody with a very rare disease and one that hasn't been seen in a long time. In this situation, actually, most of the more recent literature on management is from the developing world, just because there are so few times when patients in the developed world need this kind of care for tetanus.
This was a six-year-old boy. This is a very serious illness. What are the symptoms? What does a child go through when they're battling tetanus?
Tetanus basically causes you can think of it as a poison for your nervous system that causes your muscles to spasm. And they spasm uncontrollably, really without let up. And obviously, that is painful, but when it starts affecting your airway muscles and also your muscles that help you breathe, it can become life-threatening. So you go from having clenching of the jaw and spasming of other muscles to respiratory failure.
At any point, did you worry the child wouldn't make it?
I think any time somebody is that sick, there's always a chance that that they're not going to survive. We were always hopeful that we were going to be able to get him through this.
And to discover that this is happening to this child because his parents didn't vaccinate him, what's that conversation like?
Well, I would say it's always hard for us to watch a child suffer. It's also it's harder when you know they're suffering from a disease that is easily preventable. I can't get into all of the conversations that we had with the family, but it was a situation that I think was challenging for a lot of the folks taking care of the kid because, like I said, it's hard to watch someone suffering, especially from a disease that's as painful as tetanus is.
Sure. Fair enough. You can't go into your conversations with those parents, but what would you say to any parent who comes to you and says, I don't trust vaccines?
Well, I think parents are really often struggling to get good information about vaccines. As a parent myself, I understand that there are a lot of different sources of information out there, and I think it can be hard for people sometimes to sort through the facts. From my vantage point as a critical care pediatrician, I would say I have taken care of probably about 100 patients who needed ICU care because of a vaccine-preventable illness, and these are all children. I have not taken care of a single child who needed ICU care because of a complication from a vaccine. So from my vantage point, it's a pretty clear risk-benefit analysis, but I recognize that the parents really are often struggling to get good information.
There are side effects with vaccines, but just how serious are they or how prevalent are they? Let's talk about those side effects that keep parents from vaccinating.
Well, I think that there are side effects that are generally rare and generally not very severe. I think that there's also a lot of there are a lot of concerns about side effects that are not necessarily founded. So, for example, there has been a lot of discussion about autism, especially with the MMR vaccine, even though that there is no scientific basis to that claim. That's still a perception that is out there in the community. So not only do we have to take people through the risks and benefits of vaccines, but we also have to deal with a lot of unfounded perceptions.
The misinformation out there. And I heard our state's Secretary of Health, on the Hill last week saying we need federal funding to push back against this bad information. And he compared it to the anti-smoking campaigns that they had to go through decades ago to get people to stop smoking. Would you go that far, that this could be, parents not vaccinating their children is like somebody smoking today? It's that dangerous?
Well, I would say that not vaccinating kids absolutely puts them at risk for these diseases that, quite frankly, are often really terrible. And I think one of the reasons why we're where we are with this vaccine debate is because people don't know just how bad these diseases are. And I think one of the things that this case illustrates is that these diseases are absolutely terrible. They are, or at least can be deadly, and that not vaccinating your child can have deadly consequences.
How would you go about doing that without putting a picture of a child with suffering from tetanus or suffering from measles, like they did with black lungs on packages of cigarettes?
Well, I think that's a really challenging, that's a hard question to answer. I think different people choose not to vaccinate or have questions about vaccinating for very different reasons. For some people, it's a simple matter of just needing access to the right kinds of information. Other people are very strongly opposed, either on religious grounds or for other reasons. And I think for that group of people, just knowing what the complications of vaccine preventable illnesses are may not be enough to change their minds.
Yeah. And after all of this, the parents still won't give any other vaccination to this 6-year-old boy.
That's correct.
How do you respond to that as a pediatrician when they tell you and they walk out the door of the hospital and that boy's not protected?
Well, as a pediatrician, I always worry about the kid. We got him through a very challenging illness, and we feel very good about that, and we are thankful that he made a full recovery, and we hope that he never comes down with a vaccine-preventable illness again. There's ultimately not much more than that we're able to do.
And I know with measles, once you have it, you won't get it again, but it sounds like with tetanus, doesn't offer immunity in the future?
Correct. Tetanus does not offer any immunity to those who have had it in the past, at least not a significant amount of immunity. It's also not a disease where herd immunity will help you, because you're not getting it from another person. You're getting it from the soil.
So the best thing is just to vaccinate yourself.
If everyone else around you is vaccinated, but you're not, you are just as much at risk as if nobody were vaccinated. It is recommended to continue getting tetanus boosters every 10 years. And if you show up to an emergency room with a deep cut or a puncture wound or something else that sort of trips somebody's switch, they will generally give you a tetanus booster if you haven't had one in the last 5 years, just to make sure that you're up to date and well protected. And again, that's because the risks of the disease are so high. It's a terrible disease, and we tend to forget that because we don't ever see it.
Is the answer what our state is trying to do, doing away with the option of a personal or philosophical exemption for vaccines?
Well, I think in terms of the public health risk benefit analysis of vaccination for kids, it's really clear. The World Health Organization considers vaccine hesitancy to be one of the top 10 threats to global health this year. So it is a very, very major concern. And while I think we always have to take really seriously any steps that restrict people's individual freedoms, it is also really important to highlight the importance of vaccines in terms of preventing some of these really terrible diseases. So I do support that legislation as somebody who is dealing on a regular basis with some of these diseases and the terrible effects that they have on kids.
All right. Dr. Carl Erickson, he's a critical care pediatrician at Dornbecker Children's Hospital in Oregon, part of the care team and the research team that looked after this 6-year-old boy who contracted tetanus. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.